Hello and welcome back to the Fowler Hour. You might notice that the audio is a little off right now because I'm recording from my phone for the intro because my microphone, the one that I normally use, is currently at my new place. I'm in the middle of a move recording this right now, so please forgive that, but I've got a great episode for you guys today. Today I'm joined by Robbie Farkash. We first met at a conference in London a year or so ago, and then again at a networking event hosted by The Future in early 2019. And I thought his story was really inspiring, so I wanted to get him on the show to share that with you. He recently completed a night school design course hosted by DNAD called New Blood Shift, which focuses on getting young creatives of all types who don't have a degree out into the world, helping them grow, solve problems, meet new people, and potentially network with agencies who could help them find a job. I'm often asked whether university is worth it when you're trying to do design, and I felt Robbie's story would be really insightful to share with you since he's tried both the traditional and non-traditional route. On today's show, you'll hear more about his story, how the course went down, and some tips for getting started with design education. Let's start today's show.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Fowler Hour today. I'm joined by Robbie Farkash. I think I got that right. He's been teaching me for the last 5 minutes how to actually do this properly because I want to make sure I get everyone's names right for the show. So Robbie is originally from Hungary, but you live in Leicester at the moment, right?
Almost. I'm originally from Romania. But my nationality is Hungarian.
Okay, yeah. We're close enough. Close. All right.
Hi, everyone.
Awesome. So Robbie's come to join us on the show today because I've met him at multiple design events in London over the last year or so. And I've got really intrigued by your story about attending a design night school called DNAD Shift. So before we dive into that and kind of talk about the differences between a traditional education and what you did at DNAD, can you give a bit of an explanation or an introduction, where you're from, who you are, what you do?
Yeah, so my name's Rob. I grew up in Romania in a Hungarian family. I went to art school for 12 years, so I've been doing a lot of visual arts, especially still natures. And I decided after finishing school, I would like to do product design. However, that wasn't possible as I would have wanted because I wanted to go study somewhere else outside of Romania, where universities are a bit more focused on the practical bits, not only the theoretical bits. And my only option at the time was Aarhus, Denmark. So the only viable option I had was to study graphics design. Well, the course was called Multimedia Design and Communication, but it was heavily focused on graphics design and web design. So that's what I did. After finishing school, I went to Denmark. I studied there for a very short 2 years. It's not really a graduate degree. It's not a bachelor's degree. So at the time, that wasn't such great news, but then it turned out to be great. So after those 2 years, I decided, sorry, just a bit of background so you better understand. In Denmark, university is split up. So just like you have bachelor's and master's degree, you have the bachelor split up into two. So you have 2 years of more general classes. And then you have like a year and a half of, it's called bachelor top up. Yeah. So I did those 2 years and then I decided not to do the bachelor top up because there was nothing within my interest in that local area. And I decided that anyways, graphics design is not the sort of career where you just have to study and study forever. Like, it's not architecture, it's not, I don't know, medicine. So if you do a small mistake, then yeah, you wasted money on some prints that will go into trash and you have to remake the design, but no one's gonna die from it, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully your posters are not gonna like influence someone's lifespan. But that's a really interesting story. So when you got to, so you finished those 2 years in Denmark, and so you're now obviously living in the UK. How did that switch come about? So instead of going back to Romania, how did you end up over here?
Yeah, so I tried to find some work in Denmark and it proved quite difficult at the time because A, I had almost no experience getting out of uni. I only did an internship for like 3 months. And then B, I don't speak the language properly. It's only a bit of basic Danish. So that means there are two big no's for hiring me. Yeah, so I tried getting a job for about a year and a half. And then I decided, since my girlfriend is anyways here studying, I decided to move here to the UK. And it's going to be much easier because there's no Danish. There are a lot more firms, a lot more agencies and studios. So it should be a lot easier.
You took a bit of a leap of faith then, by the sounds of it. Kind of.
Yes, I did. The other thing is also 2 years of long distance relationship was quite unpleasant. So, yeah, I mean, it's not the best thing. So,
especially that kind of distance.
This, yeah.
Like, I mean, Lydia and I, my girlfriend Lydia, we live about 2 and a bit hours away from each other.
Yeah.
And that's not too bad because I can get a train, but I can't imagine having to like get a plane. Like, that is quite a lot of dedication on your end, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, well, I'd say it was worth it.
Yeah, well, clearly you're here now, you're still here, so yeah. Clearly that was worthwhile coming and joining and staying in the UK. So as I said at the top of the show, one of the things that caught my attention about you is that you took that non-traditional route into design, but you already had some background in graphic design, obviously going through to Denmark and studying there as well. Yeah. So there's a course called DNAD, New Blood Shift, I think is the full title.
Yes,
it is. Now, DNAD is a really awesome organization that runs a ton of events and exhibitions in the UK, including multiple award ceremonies as well. You've probably seen their pencil trophies on various design blogs and things like that. But when Rob was talking to me about this, you were basically explaining how incredible this night program that you went on was and how insightful it had been for the, how many months did you say it was for? It's like 3 months or something like that.
Well, it was for 3 months and then we took a Christmas break. And after that, we got back again. We presented our projects to the clients and then we had the showcase.
Awesome. Okay, so yeah. let's rewind on that a little bit and just I want to know how you found this course, because obviously you said you'd moved to London to the UK to see your girlfriend.
Yeah, it wasn't London, it's Leicester.
It wasn't London. Oh, sorry, so did you come to London for the course? Did you do it in Leicester?
Yes.
Yeah, you came to London for it.
And so it was quite unpleasant, to be honest, because I could not afford a train. So I was going with coaches. So I took the coach for every course. I had about 3 hours of going on the National Express coaches, attending the course. Yeah.
Mate, so I'm looking at the...
Quite an adventure.
Yeah, I'm looking at the curriculum and it's something like you guys have to meet like 2 or 3 times a week, wasn't it?
Yes, precisely.
And you had to do 6 hours of traveling each time you went in.
Yeah, so I think the classes were about 3 hours, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And for me, it was about 13 hours being away from home.
Yeah, geez. Yeah. So that's quite an impressive feat. Yeah. So now that we've kind of talked about kind of where it is, what it's roughly about, do you want to give us a bit of an indication or a background into what Shift is all about? What the program is all about?
Yeah, so the program is made in such a way to help a few lucky individuals break the ice and get into design careers without taking the traditional path. So basically, Shift is made to replace a university degree.
Is that kind of what drew you to it?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I've known DNAD before from the web, and I think it's a great organization. And I was pretty sure that they have some really good connections. And honestly, this was probably one of the most important things about it. The curriculum is just as important, don't get me wrong, because we learned a lot, but I think connections are the most important thing.
Yeah, so the networking you were able to do during the time of the course has potentially benefited you. And I think, I mean, I was looking on the website today for it.
Yeah.
Looking at some of the people's stories and some of the other people kind of in your class from that year. And a lot of the people there seemed, or at least the videos that they had, kind of showcased people who felt a little lost, who felt like they didn't know how to get into the creative industries, maybe had little to no experience at all. And they were just kind of focused in on maybe not so much the networking business side, but trying to improve themselves as creatives and public speakers and stuff like that. But you were going in with a different perspective of trying to heavily network and build a career. Is that what I'm gathering?
I mean, to be honest, I can also relate to that feeling of being lost, because at this point, it has been just over 2 years since I finished my university, and I've been trying to find a job. And I mean, it's perfectly clear to me right now that I didn't take the right approach. First of all, I was too scared to apply at the companies that I really would have liked to work at. And this is a very big mistake. I mean, you should not be scared of applying or trying to connect to people, or just, I don't know, I was even scared of submitting a project for the New Blood Awards, which I think it was a very big mistake not trying that out. I mean, even if you so-called fail, you don't really fail, right? Because you get the experience, and then next time you're one step higher.
And so, yeah, was that really, that is the core foundation of why you go and do this type of course, or why you go and do these networking events, or why you go to a conference, is that you go and talk to people, you go and improve, and sometimes you'll fail. But as you said, it's all experience.
Yeah. Yeah, to be honest, Shift really helped a lot. Like, it was very effective. One, I got a lot of knowledge from it because the curriculum was really well made. It was made together with people from some of the biggest companies. So basically, DNAD approaches them and they ask, okay, what would you like fresh students applying to jobs to be like? What do they know and is good? What they don't know and is good? And basically, they build their curriculum on that.
Yeah. So let's dive into that a little bit. So when you applied, you took that leap and you applied. How did that go down? How did you find out that you'd got in? Were you really excited at that point, or was it a case of, oh shit, now I have to get like 6 hours of coaches all the time?
No. I mean, so to be honest, I don't remember exactly where I found out about Shift. I know that it was through one of their posts on social media, but I cannot remember which platform. So I was just scrolling through whichever platform this is, and I saw this post from DNAD. So I immediately check it out, and then I made a note to myself that I should apply, but definitely not at the moment, because this thing seems really scary. So I should rather postpone it for a month or two, because why not? The deadline is far away. So that's the stupid thing I did. I postponed, and then I remembered, I think it was about a week or a few days until the deadline. And I was quite passive about it. And then I remembered the very last day. So I got in the situation where I literally sent my application in 1 minute before the deadline. Like, it was 23:59. Mistake. Geez. At that point, I was 100% sure that I would be rejected just because of this, because they can probably realize that A, I might be a very scared person who's afraid to do things, or I might be lazy, or maybe B, I'm not too good with deadlines. So I would definitely recommend to anyone, when you have a deadline, just try to be active about it. Try to do something else than just be lazy.
Yeah. And so you'd applied, you'd kind of...
Yeah, so I applied and I was 100% sure that I'm going to be rejected, but I was happy that at least I didn't give up with application, because that's, to me, one of the most important things. Even if I cannot do something properly, I still try my best.
You still finish
and
it.
Just not, yeah, exactly. Not giving up is already a big achievement.
All right. So you've applied. You've kind of resigned this to the bin. You're like, you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah, definitely. And then at one point, I got an email from them that they have selected 40 individuals, and I'm one of them, and they would like me to come to London for. It was one day. They called it the Challenge Day. So it was a really cool event. It's a funny story because at that time, I was in Romania on a summer holiday, and I wasn't really sure whether to attend the Challenge Day or not, because, well, first of all, at that point, I wasn't really well off financially, and buying a plane ticket for just next week is ridiculously expensive. So that made it a really big decision, because it was an uncertainty. I couldn't really know if going to the Challenge Day would really help in any way or not. But I decided to take the chance.
And so when you took that chance, obviously you turned up in London with very empty pockets. With all the money you've been on the plane. And you turn up to this Challenge Day, and what did you find? Because from even up to this point, this is very interesting. If you think about how this seems like a traditional process, like if you were to go and apply to a university or to like a traditional educator, you would do the same process. You'd submit your portfolio, you'd submit your history, you'd submit your grades, whatever it was, and then you'd probably go in for some kind of open day. But you're saying it's an interview. So this wasn't like an interview. This was like you turn up and they've set you a brief and you've got to go.
Yeah. So it wasn't exactly one brief. It was more. So first of all, it was a bit of a taster of what shift would be, because we had a few. I don't remember if it was one presentation or multiple presentations, but we had this little bit of giving us info, kind of like a class. And then we also had little challenges where we had to come up with small ideas and do small sort of like exercises or assignments, however you want to call them. So we had these two parts, and then we had an interview, of course, as well.
Were you nervous going into that interview?
Yeah. I mean, I'm quite nervous in general. I'm also nervous now because it's my first time interviewing on a podcast.
You're fine, mate. Don't worry. You're doing fine.
Yeah, so I was nervous. But to be honest, I was really determined of doing the best I can. So I tried to do that throughout the whole day, and then on the interview, and then afterwards, when they gave us a small assignment to do at home, they had this like a comic strip, a small book, and then it had no dialogues inside. And we had to try and come up with the most interesting thing we could.
Oh, that's interesting. So they got you to do like copywriting as well.
It was sort of like a test for creativity. Yeah, so exactly. This is more of copywriting. It's not really graphic design focused.
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed about the course.
The course is quite diverse. Exactly. Yeah. It's not only for advertising. It's not only for graphics design. It's for anyone who does any sort of creating thing. So it could be watercolors, it could be poetry, all sorts of.
So when you'd had this interview, I want to run this story through, because it's such an interesting concept. I'm just enthralled, because I know so many people who've gone through the traditional route, and I find often they turn around to me in their second year of university or after they finished, and they either feel don't feel creative because they've just had to follow a really kind of dull, outdated curriculum.
Yeah.
And now you're telling me that you went and did a course with potentially with poets, potentially with copywriters, potentially with fine. I saw one of the girls was like a fine artist and a painter. And it's
a lot of people were into photography as well.
Yeah.
So like, all sorts of very diverse hobbies.
It's crazy to think that one course could bring all these people together. So now, and especially that copywriting exercise, that's really interesting. It's really interesting that they've decided your writing skill has such an impact on your creativity. So what did you write in this strip? Do you remember?
Yeah, so it's a It's hard to explain the whole story because it's quite a lengthy story and it's really complex. Like, it takes a lot of different turns. But what I try to do is go away from the very obvious story, because the moment you opened it and you flipped through the whole comic book, you instantly got the story and what it was. And I try to go away from that and then try to come up with a totally different story and then make it fit with the pictures.
Yeah. So I actually showed that you gave two hoots about it and you actually wanted to make something a little bit different.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't imagine many people were picked who did just kind of fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
So clearly they were looking for people who were not just going to be like pixel pushers. They wanted people who were going to be actually creative and kind of push boundaries. So let's jump forward a little bit to like your first day, like your first DNAD shift day, like the first official one after you got picked.
So just one thing I would like to mention. I mean, besides what you're saying, that they want people who are very creative and they want people pushing boundaries and just being brave. I think for me, it was a huge advantage that I did travel all the way from Romania to London just for a few days to be on the challenge day. And that proved them that I am really serious about this. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to be on the course. So I think that was the thing for me. Honestly, if I would have been living in London at the time and I would have just showed up in the morning at the challenge day, I'm not sure I would have been accepted. At least not this easily. That's definitely for sure.
Well, it definitely shows your commitment. It definitely shows your commitment to the project and to the course. And that it shows also that you have the discipline to do that, because many people, as you say, even people living in London, I bet there were people who were meant to turn up to challenge day who lived in London who just didn't bother.
Probably.
I don't know. I would assume so. Yeah. Like any time you have this kind of event, people just don't show up and they live down the road. Like, it's just one of those things. And I bet you're probably right. Like, there is a lot more to creativity than just what you can put on a computer screen or what you can design on paper or what you can write. You also have to exude that in like everything that you do. You have to like shine a very bright light in front of your face and be like, this is what I am, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to be committed to this project.
Yeah, I think that is really important. Having the discipline and being proactive is ridiculously important.
Do you think that's more important than the creative stuff you did on that course? Or because that's where I want to talk about next. I want to talk about your briefs and how that went down.
It's hard to say. I don't know. But in general, I would say that probably discipline and commitment are more important than being creative or being born with a certain gift.
Yeah, I think
honestly,
I'd agree.
I don't believe in talent, or at least I don't think I have talent. And when people tell me I'm talented, it's almost like an insult to me. I don't think it's talent. I just think I've been in this for a long time just because I was born. So both my parents, they teach and study physics and astronomy. So I was born with a very, very logical skill set. And I was born the kind of person who would go about and become an engineer. Yet for some reason, art school seemed more appealing to me and I just sticked with it. Probably also because they really tried to push math.
Yeah,
and I didn't want to do a lot of mathematics. I just, you know, when you get things pushed towards you, you just instantly repel them.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think sometimes it's weird. Some kids will chase after what their parents do so much.
Yeah.
But the more and more people that I talk to about this, the more I notice that anyone who's got like a tiny creative spark in them, anything that their parents like try and force upon them, like you say, like maths, or I was talking to Ben Howes and he was talking about how he grew up in quite a religious household and how he's like very much not that now.
Yeah.
And all the different creative people that I have met over the years explaining that they kind of went against the status quo. They went against what they were taught and like what their family did. I mean, my dad is a naval engineer. My mum now runs her own craft business, but before that, she was she taught cookery and things like that. So she was a teacher, and I went like completely the opposite way. And I think you're right. It's such an odd idea, but I bet you probably feel really good about having not taken maths.
To be honest, it was also a bit of the same struggle when I decided not to pursue with studying in Denmark.
Mm.
Yeah, it wasn't as easily accepted by my family. I mean, my mom was all right with it, but then grandmas and uncles and aunts, they weren't so keen about my decision. So, yeah.
Yeah, I bet.
You try to explain them about Aaron Draplin not having gone to university, but they don't really understand.
No, I bet they weren't very interested in that. Nope. Some big dude from Oregon. The tall man from Oregon. But it's really interesting that that's the same approach, because again, I hear this quite a lot from people I speak to for the show, that parents who have very academic backgrounds are either very supportive of their creative children, or someone in the family is a bit like, no, you must go to school, you must do this, you must do that. Especially when I've been talking to people like Noah Osas and Samuel Aobami, who are Nigerian, and Samuel is anyway, and he was explaining that it's quite difficult to kind of break apart from that cultural side. But anyway, let's get back onto this DNAD thing. I don't want to jump straight into culture like this. I want to hear about your night school. So you've got in, you've flown across Europe to be there for the challenge day. You wake up, you've got into the course. So what was day one like? What was that like, getting in there?
Yeah, so there was a bit of break from the challenge day. It took about 1 week to get the response. And then when I got the response, I was super thrilled to be in. They told me that I've been accepted. And if I'm still interested, then I have a place on the course, which for me was a total no-brainer. I mean, that's why I've been to the challenge day. That's why I applied in the first place, because I was very interested in the course. So then this was at some point in the middle of the summer. I think it was like July or something like that. And then in mid, might have been August, I'm sorry, my memory is not that good. So then in September we started, and we started with a weekend of having 2 or 3 days. So those were very intensive. They particularly made this curriculum that we had 2 or 3 intensive days in the beginning. So we all start from a common level. So they gave us the basics during those days. And then with every single session, we had a different theme that we would discuss on that occasion. So in the beginning, there was a lot about how agencies work and the different types of agencies and all sorts of technical stuff like this. And then it slowly got into more about how we should work and values. So we had all sorts of things like bravery. For example, for bravery, we had a bravery challenge. And then we were at another time, we were talking about curiosity. For this, we had a curiosity fund. We were given £20 and we had to do something with the £20, something that we haven't done before.
Interesting. So was that a case of go out and buy some stuff? Someone fold the £20 note into like an origami t-shirt or something like that?
It could have been anything. So they told us that someone in New York, they just took a trip outside of the state because they have never done that. Someone else. So the course is happening in London and in New York at the moment.
Right, I see.
Yeah, so someone else, I don't remember if it was from London or New York, someone else gave the money to the homeless. I don't know if they bought some food or they just straight up gave the money away. Yeah. So all sorts of very different ideas.
So you're talking about these concepts. Obviously, you've got bravery. You're talking about the technical side of agencies. This is all like warm-up stuff, right? This is all like get to know each other, learn a bit of the technical side, and go from there. Now, it's so strange to think about this because I'm constantly, you're explaining this and it makes perfect sense to me. It makes perfect sense that these kind of creative courses are thinking on this wavelength. They're like, well, here's a keyword, go and run with it. Let's see what you do. Go and explore something different. But you then parallel that to like a university course and it's, here's your strict brief. Go and make a poster about this for this. Go and do a booklet for this, for this. Go and make a UI template for this app. There's like, there's some freedom, but not that kind of breadth of freedom that you guys were given. So now you kind of done that introduction. What was the first like design or creative brief they gave you? Because I've got the portfolio of you guys up on my monitor. Big projects. So how did they start you out?
Sorry, can you repeat the last sentence? Because I could just see you talk, but I couldn't hear anything.
That's okay. So what was the first big project they gave you?
Yeah, so the first one was Beats. This is the one that we started with. So just to give a bit of a background, with almost every session, we went to one of the bigger agencies in London, and then we were there for the evening. We had some people from that location talk to us about that particular night's theme. So with this one, we went to AKQA because Beats are working with AKQA. And we went to their agency. They briefed us on what we had to do. So you probably know, the audience doesn't know, we had to create an advert. And it wasn't necessarily, they didn't tell us exactly what medium we have to use, but it was targeting people who are commuting, young people, millennials like us, commuting to work, from work, wherever. And we had to make the Beats headphones appealing to commuters.
Yeah,
so this was it. Yeah. And we got briefed on it, and then we got into small little groups. We already had our teams formed at that point, and we straight up got brainstorming and discussing about it, asking questions from the people at AKQA and Beats. And they were lovely enough to provide us with a pair of headphones.
Oh, nice. Even better.
Well, yeah, just going to try them out and see exactly what they work like, what they feel like, so we can make something that's actually relevant.
So what did you do for this one? Because I'm looking at all of these portfolio pieces, and some of them, some of the people, I think it's someone called Isabel, they did like some adverts on a tube. Someone else did some similar types of adverts, but using more like collage effects or like big murals on walls and stuff like that. So obviously everyone was doing diverse stuff, but with your background, what did you decide to do for these things? Did you find any of this like a challenge at all, or is it a case of you can just do whatever you want?
Yeah, so it was teamwork. We were three people in the team, and we were discussing a lot about all sorts of different approaches and different things we could come up with, and my teammates were really keen on creating something that's going to be a video piece and could be shown on TV, could be shown on YouTube as pre-roll ads. So that's what we went to. But the challenge with this was we couldn't really, of course, it's really expensive to create something like this. So the budget is normally huge and we didn't have that. So we had to present a strategy, and then we presented a commercial that had a similar look and feel to what we wanted.
Okay. So how was that received? Was that received well?
So we presented that, and then we presented some other bits that would accompany the commercial. Yeah. So it definitely wasn't one of their favorites. It might have been because we went more into the strategy rather than execution because of the nature of what we decided to do, but it might have been because they liked other strategies more than ours.
Overall, like the fact they got you working in teams with people that you didn't really know, it's not like you were working in an agency and you knew everyone who worked there.
Yeah,
you guys have kind of been just dropped in to, because I the last time I think I did something like that was oh geez, I dread to think, at least college. So at least 6 years ago was probably the last time I did that kind of event. And man, if you get stuck with the wrong people, it can be an absolute nightmare. So thinking to the idea of you going on this course, obviously you explained you were nervous going to the course itself. So did you have any doubts about this? Like, if this was your first project with them, you've been put in a team that you're a bit maybe not, like, you kind of had an okay project, but it didn't go down as well as you hoped. Were you feeling maybe that the next thing wasn't going to be as good? Were you kind of with the nerves building up, or were you ready to tackle the next thing?
Yeah, well, first of all, the way this worked, we had three different projects, and then two of them were bigger than the third one. And then with these, we would start at different times, but the deadline was almost the same for each and every one.
Right.
So it wasn't like we finished the first one, then we moved on to the next one, but we started with this one from Beats, which was probably the biggest one. And then we went on to Formula E. And then we had another third one for PwC, which was, we basically had just one day to work on it. And then we were able to continue afterwards at home.
Okay. So yeah, it sounds really cool.
This one, I think it was about at least a quarter of the course in already. So we kind of knew each other, because throughout the course, at almost every day, we had all sorts of assignments and small challenges, and we were basically working in teams all the time. And they did whatever they could to make sure that we're going to be in a different team in every single day. So we kind of knew most of us, and then we also had some spreads that we had to fill out where we would talk. We wrote about ourselves, so we wrote about our minors, majors, what we would like to know, what we already know, so things like that. So based on these, we formed our teams.
Okay, so they were really paying like heavy attention to you guys. They were really...
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think that was maybe more of a benefit to what you got in university? Such a small group, do you think it was... You felt like you had more attention paid to you?
Yeah, I definitely. I mean, we also had like a productivity coach, and she was very helpful.
Oh, cool.
We had one session each of us with her minimum, and then we were free to take however many afterwards if needed.
So what was she kind of helping you with? Was it like project management and...
So
God, could you imagine if they had those at university? People like actually getting help to plan their essays and like be productive rather than everyone just having a meltdown at 2 a.m.
So she was like somewhere in between therapist and productivity coach. And I think she was really helpful, at least for me. I found it really helpful to talk to her and try to get some advice and try to get her view and... just bounce things off of someone.
That's great. I mean,
I know some people weren't as keen as speaking to her, but for me, it was helpful.
I bet. Like, I've never heard of that. I'm genuinely so happily surprised that there was actually someone on the course who could do that for you guys.
Yeah, honestly, also DNAD were really helpful. Like, if at any point we needed any bit of help or... there was something, anything, might have been a personal problem or anything. It was very easy to just go and speak to them and tell them whatever the problem is.
Yeah.
So we had some emails and phone numbers, and we had a group chat on WhatsApp. So it was very easy to talk, not only this kind of personal problems, but also talking between us. Yeah, we definitely made some friends.
Good. Are you talking to any of them now?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do.
Awesome.
And regularly.
I'm kind of blown away, to be honest. The idea that, because did you pay for any of this?
No.
So you didn't pay for
the education? No, and honestly, DNAD did whatever they could to help us.
Yeah.
So for example, in my case, I've got some help with paying for all the commuting, which honestly, right now, I don't know how I would have made it without it. I would have had to borrow some money from somewhere.
Yeah. So not only have these guys seen the creative talent in you and the other people in your group, but they're also willing to go the extra mile to help you.
Yeah, honestly, I told them at one point that if I were to somehow sum up the whole experience in a few words, it would be the gift that keeps on giving, because we got tickets to mini conferences and festivals. We got a course from DNAD afterwards, which we beta tested. And then, yeah, it was £200 value, and we got it for free. We helped them test it.
Amazing.
Yeah, so it was all sorts of benefits. They really did whatever they could to help us, and we're still in touch with DNAD if we need their help, in case, I don't know, we want to if we want to send a CV or a cover letter and we need some help regarding that, or they told us if we're taking an internship and they consider that they shouldn't pay their interns, we should get in touch with DNAD and they'll try to do whatever they can about this. And they told us in the past, it has occurred that they pressured the company into paying one of the shifters.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite a bit of like staying power like they have behind them.
Yes, they do.
Jeez. I did not realize how much effort DNAD put into this. You can't see it from, you don't hear about things like helping you pay your coaches or going to conferences and events. On their website, it's very kind of, there's not a huge amount of information. It gives you like a brief overview and some videos, but none of these details, nothing about a productivity coach, nothing about references and cover letters and helping you moving on beyond the course. And it's made me kind of just want to suggest this to more people I know that not many people get into this and it's a very kind of exclusive club, but it sounds to me like what you've learned in these few months, you could probably equate to at least a year in university.
Yeah, honestly, at least. I think it tries to condense university in 3 months, and it does that really well.
So tell me more about these networking events, because this is when we last met at the Future Networking event a little while ago, we were talking a little bit about the networking that you've been doing around the course and going to other agencies. There's a bunch of really awesome names on here as well about all the agencies that you guys have been to. AKQA, Design Bridge, BBC Creative, Iris and Havas are like just the ones in London. So what kind of people did you meet on this? What kind of networking did you get to do?
Yeah, first of all, most of the networking was going to every single session and then trying to speak to the people from those companies who were present on the day, and then connecting with them. I connected with as many people as I could on LinkedIn, and then write them at least a thank you after the session, which, to be honest, you never know when such a connection might come in handy. And then the other networking that we did was on the showcase, when they arranged all our works that we did on DNAD during shift and prior to shift. And they invited a lot of people from all sorts of different agencies to come and see our works. And on this occasion, we had a lot of different people from very big agencies. We had, for example, I was talking about with one person about his daughter and how we both have our phones cracked and things like that. And then next day he emails me, he says, he thanks me about the talk we had. And then on the signature, it says that he's at JKR in a very senior role, which I was very amazed by. I was just talking with him like I would be talking to you right now about super casual things. And the next thing I find out, he's working at a very big company in a very senior level. Yeah.
That's really cool. So did that make you feel more confident in your own skill then? The fact you could just kind of have that kind of...
Yeah. It made people people working at bigger companies, especially in more senior levels, look more humane to us.
Mm-hmm.
So before that, it might sound stupid, but people working in a very well-known company at a higher level are sort of like gods, you know?
Yeah.
They might seem like that, like, oh my God, how did you get there? Are you seriously working at this company or that company? Whereas that was before Shift. Whereas now it's like they are regular people like you and I. They probably worked really hard to get there, but they're still normal people. They have personalities, yeah. They have interests. So it made people look a lot more approachable.
That's really
cool. Definitely helped with confidence. And I think not only for me, but for everyone.
So how does that, looking back on the time you spent with DNAD, do you think even if you'd continued your university course for those remaining 2 years, do you think you would have learned as much at university or built this confidence? Or do you think this DNAD course is like helped you take those bigger steps?
Yeah, well, in regards to skills, I might have been a bit better, not necessarily at software, but at doing different kind of tasks or creating prints or just more technical knowledge. But I think that's it. I would definitely not have the network that I have right now. I would definitely not have this confidence, and I would have not feel that people are approachable. And if I would like to work at a specific company or apply for an internship right now, I would email them without shying away from doing that. Whereas before, it would have been like just me talking to myself, trying to convince myself that maybe I'm not good enough. I mean, most probably I wouldn't be good enough to work there, which is a very stupid thing to do.
Yeah, that's imposter syndrome sitting in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So honestly, I'm much happier of having done this than I would have been with university, I believe.
That's really good to hear. And it's,
yeah,
from my perspective, I didn't go to university for design, but I see this everywhere all the time that, and it's been true forever in like the music industry and stuff like that. And I think it's still true today. It's not what you know, it's often who you know.
Yes.
So even if you'd spent another 2 years in university learning those technical skills, excuse me, you may never have been hired anyway, because you wouldn't have been able to demonstrate your creative skill, because you wouldn't have been confident enough. You wouldn't have been able to network and build, really knew how to use Photoshop. You didn't really know how to solve a problem. But now you can go to all of these companies and say, hey, look, I was part of this DNAD course. I can solve problems creatively. I know these people. I can get a reference from these guys. I have more confidence talking to strangers and people in more senior roles. And that's like a skill you can't pay for. Like, you can't pay for that skill. You can't get that from going to university. Like, it's the one thing I tell every time I get a message from someone who's a university student. I always tell them, or they're thinking about going to university, I always say, well, you've got to do what's best for you. But if you don't finish that university course with a network, you may as well not have gone in many ways.
Yeah, I think another very important thing is mindset.
Yeah.
And DNAD helped a lot with my mindset. And we learned a lot about creative bravery and trying to be brave and create work that is on the edge. Whereas I've never considered before how important it is to create something that is unique and it's different, something that's not super mainstream and it's not dull. And it helped me get out of the comfort zone for sure.
Do you think that's helped you moving forward to the job that you've got now?
Yes, definitely. Yes, I think thinking of where I was before the program and where I'm now, it's a huge difference. I mean, first of all, before going onto DNAD, I was applying to small graphic design jobs that I was finding online. And they were all sorts of small little companies here and there, mostly. Whereas after the course, I had an interview with Apple. I've been on a 3-day work placement at JKR, which is
amazing.
The most awarded. So they won the most pencils on from DNAD on last year's festival. So this year's most awarded company. I've got an internship offer from BBC last week.
Wow. Nice one,
man. It's ridiculous. Thank you so much. And then most importantly, I managed to find this very nice job that I'm working at now. I was trying to find an internship in London, and I was 100% sure that I have to move to London because that's where all the big companies are. And I was trying to contact all the people, all the various people from the course, writing to them, applying to different places, following back from emails, things like that. And it was taking quite a while. And I've got a few no's, but yeah. I also had a bunch of maybes. And there were companies that told me that I have to give them some time because they want to make sure that they have a place for me and they have work to give me, which makes total sense.
So you're top of the pile. So you're like next in line.
Yes, in some cases it was the case for it. And because it was taking too long and financially it was just becoming more and more tight, I decided that I have to look for something here in Leicester for at least a few months before moving to London. So I went on the web, I looked for advertising agencies, which prior to that I looked at graphics design studios, and I found one that I really liked, but nothing interesting except for that. And this other time I looked at advertising agencies. So I found this really cool agency on their website. One of the first thing that they were presenting was their work with DNAD.
And oh, nice.
Yeah, I wrote them. I wrote them on they're called Sunbright Spark. I wrote them on a Friday evening. It was, afternoon, not really evening. It was around 4, something like that, after 4 o'clock. And they got back in less than half an hour.
Oh,
they
my God.
They said that, my internship application seems very interesting to them. And they would like to meet with me on the next week. So the closest day we could find was in a week time on the next Friday. So we met Friday morning. And it's really cool people. So it was hard not to like them. And they also, I was lucky enough that they liked me back. And they do all sorts of varied work, but mostly it falls under organizing events. But for this one, sometimes you need a bit of branding for a conference. Then you might need all sorts of prints. You might need some digital skills as well for building a website, building an app, a bit of 3D here and there for, organizing the layout and how the whole event is going to look like. So it's super diverse work that we do at the company. And that was also the sort of work I was doing before. I'm one of those people who they don't really know for sure what they're the best at, or at least what they want to do most of. And I try to do a bit of everything. So this is something that they really appreciated. They liked my personality, and probably the fact that I was on DNAD before was sort of like a reassurance for them that I'm serious about this. So they told me that they would like to get me on the team, and they want me to start as soon as possible. So Monday morning at 9, I was there. And then by midday, I already got a contract for full-time employment.
Amazing.
Yeah, honestly, it was ridiculous. And then just to top it off, the funniest bit is I already had some plane tickets for going back to Romania for Easter holiday. And since I didn't have a job when I got the tickets, I just booked 3 weeks. And then I had three weeks holiday, 3 weeks after starting the job.
Nice. So you were able to, get a new job and then go on holiday for a bit. But that's so
yeah,
cool.
So after 3 weeks of working at this company, I got 3 weeks of paid holiday.
Oh, paid.
Yeah, it was paid. Better. Yeah, so I went back home and then I went to Barcelona for Off Design Festival. I don't know if you've heard about it.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Haven't been, but I do want to go at some point. And just to kind of wrap things up, man, the journey that you seem to have gone on, hopefully people listening to this, I know this has been a bit more of a story-driven episode than kind of diving super hard into specific topics, but I think Rob's story here, guys, has been something that will hopefully resonate with a lot of people, because you weren't sure what you wanted to do. You changed lots of different things. You swapped between university and coming to the UK. You've done traveling. You've tried lots of things. You've tasted lots of different niches and industries within design. And I think that's something that a lot of people can relate to. And a lot of people thinking about going to university or going into education, there are other things out there. And if DNAD is doing such a wonderful job for a handful of students like Rob, there's probably even online courses or something in your local area or your nearest city that is going to help you just as much as going somewhere like university. Do you think what would be your advice to someone who's maybe thinking about going to university for design or architecture or something creative?
Well, first of all,
DNAD.
There's a few other groups beside DNAD who are some very useful resources, and I'll try to pull these together and then write an email to you so you could put it in the description of the podcast.
I'd love to. I'm sure people would appreciate that.
But my advice would be that you have to be proactive as much as possible. Try to say yes to everything. I mean, yeah, there's a limit to that, but I mean, like, professionally, try to say yes to all the opportunities you have and do as much as you can. And I'm sure that you will find some really nice opportunities. I think this is the most important thing. Do not be lazy and get out of your comfort zone. And for me, it done wonders. I mean, a year ago, I was trying to apply for the big DNAD festival to be a volunteer. And it was too late at the time. I couldn't get in. I just wanted to be there at the festival. I didn't have the money for the ticket. And I thought volunteering would be great, but it was already too late for that. And this year, I'm working at the company that's organizing the whole event. And we're working on the presentations for next week.
That's amazing.
So it's crazy. Yeah.
And you're clearly an example that by changing one or two little things, being more proactive, seeking opportunity rather than actually just letting it slide by, makes a massive difference. And to hear your story in like that, in that way, is very enlightening, because I think, as I said, many people feel lost and many people aren't seizing those opportunities, aren't even looking for them. But when you do, lots can change, as you've proven. And you seem so much happier and brighter and positive than even when we last met.
Oh, it's a radical change.
Which is crazy, but it's true. And I'm very, very happy for you, man, because like, it sounds to me like you've got exactly where you wanted to be.
Yeah, I think it's very important to do as much as we can and try our luck. Just write that email to that company you'd like to work at. But go on LinkedIn, find someone who works at the company and write them personally. Don't write generic emails to every single company out there. I mean, really do your homework and try to do whatever you can to make your application stand out.
Are there any tips that you'd give out to someone who's maybe trying to do this application? Anything that has worked well for you? Obviously, you can put on like, oh, I did DNAD shift, guys. Like, I did that. But what about for the maybe someone who's not done this kind of course? Is there any mistakes that you've made on an application that you, or are things that you know have worked that might help someone?
Well, it's hard to say. I don't think I'm a guru at applying. Like you said, writing about DNAD helps a lot. Like, besides this, when I was applying to jobs, so solicited jobs, try to answer what they're asking for. So what I've done at one point, I specifically wrote like 1, 2, 3 or bullet points and write an answer to every single line that they have, every single thing they request up there. Try to be early. That's very important. And just respond to emails. Don't postpone it for a day or two. But if you're applying unsolicited, that's even better. I think that's what you should do. You shouldn't wait for an application that you can find online, which hundreds of other people will apply to. Just write to start with the favorite companies. Start with your favorite companies. Try some local companies. Just try to ask them for a cup of coffee, ask them for an internship, for a job. Try to be nice. Yeah.
Just be human.
Yeah, exactly. If you can find their LinkedIn page, if you can find their work, compliment them. That helps a lot, complimenting. Show interest in the work they do. Try to relate, and when you're applying to something, even if it's solicited or unsolicited, it's important to show how you would fit in. They probably don't care about the story of your life as much as how you could help them.
It's something that I learned very recently is that when you listen to people, like you actively, as you're doing what you're doing, and you did, Rob, which was make it about them, compliment their work, ask them questions about their work, be interested in what they do. When you listen to people and you ask them questions, often you will become very interesting to them. So you're not even talking about yourself. You're not talking about who you are or what you do or where you're from. But by actively listening and by actively doing what you've been doing and messaging people and being personal to them and caring about what they do, they will then be interested in you. Yeah. Whereas if you just start to talk about yourself and be like, "Hi, I'm Connor. I'm a logo designer." They just immediately shut off and they don't care. So think about that when you guys are out there applying for jobs or reaching out to people or even saying thank you at a conference, maybe talking to strangers. Try and listen more. Try and be personal more. Because it's worked for Rob, so I don't know why it wouldn't work for you.
Yeah, just a simple email asking for some advice, asking for advice on your portfolio, I think could help a lot. It doesn't have to be just requests for an internship place or just applying for jobs.
Having these communication skills is universal, I think. And hopefully you can walk away from this episode and really feel like there are other options out there if you want to go into education for design. And so, yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Rob. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
It's not a problem.
I really enjoyed it.
Good. I'm glad. Well, where can people find you on the internet?
So I'm about on almost every single platform that you could think of. I am at @IamRobiFarka. So that's IamRobiFarkas. So you can find me on Instagram, The Dots, LinkedIn, Behance, most importantly. And apologies because my work is all over the place. I'm yet to upgrade my portfolio. I have to update it. I've been saying that for a long time now.
It's all right, mate. You've got the DNAD stuff under your belt and you've got a good job. So keep
pushing. Right now I'm focusing on my job. Good.
Keep doing that. So all those links are going to be down in the description. If you've enjoyed today's show, I'd love to hear about it on Twitter or on Instagram. You can tag me @CFowlerDesign or use the #FowlerHour to talk about the show. I'd love to see where you guys are listening to it. Maybe you had an idea about looking and signing up for the New Blood, the Shift group. Take a look, like go and explore some of this stuff, because even just the DNAD website, I've been digging around on it today. There's an amazing amount of learning that can be done through just that website, let alone actually going on some of these courses.
Yeah, so, just one last thing. Sorry. Anyone out there, feel free to write me, ask me for advice or just any sort of questions. I'm more than happy to try and help.
That's a really kind gesture. I'm sure someone will take you up on it. So yeah, thanks so much for listening to the show today, guys. If you have enjoyed today's show, send us a message, send Rob a message. Subscribe and obviously leave rate and review on iTunes. That'll be fab. I'm going to keep rambling and keep going on like this until the show is over. And we'll see you guys this time next week. See you later. Bye for now.